Thanks for joining us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We got lots to talk about on the show today, and we're beginning by talking with you about septic systems. Matt Jansen, ready to answer your septic questions. He's the private on-site wastewater treatment systems plan reviewer and works out of the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. As we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. Tell us about the last time you had your septic system checked. What'd you find? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Matt Jansen, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Oh, thanks. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, the last time you were on, we had so many calls. We had to get you back. And even though I asked this question last time, I'm going to ask it again. You're the private on-site wastewater treatment systems plan reviewer, and that is a mouthful, but yeah. Tell us more about what you do.
Well,
with your
we call it POUTS, P-O-W-T-S. It's a little easier than that mouthful of word salad, but... Yeah, it's basically what I do is I cover part of the state as the field person for the Department of Safety and Professional Services, and I handle septic systems. So the counties act as our agents. They're the ones that issue the permits on behalf of the state, do the routines, inspections, things like that. My job is mostly getting called out for when they have trouble, or as I like to call it, play referee. Plumber, homeowner, soil tester, county has a disagreement. They call us out for guidance to help them along, settle disagreements and also help them out to sometimes on troubled sites. That's a lot of what I do.
Yeah, so that's a big job. And, I'm thinking about my own home. I'm in Madison. I live in the city mm-hmm. of Madison, so I've got a system.
Right.
But I have lived in the rural area. And when I lived in a rural area, I had we had a septic system, of course. And I learned that there's a difference between who's responsible if you live in the city
right.
or if you live in the country.
Yeah, it's about a third of the state is on septic systems.
Yeah.
We have probably we're getting close to 800,000 systems that are cataloged in the state for septic. So that includes majority residential, but there's a few, like rural bars, taverns, offices, things like that. So there are a few that are on septics yet that are commercial, but... again, it's a large portion of the state, and unlike living in the city, as you said, that something goes down the drain, it's somebody else's problem or the municipality's problem. Anything that you put down the drain to your septic is yours. You're also your own little mini treatment plant operator. You're responsible for your septic system care and maintenance.
Yeah, Robert in Rhinelander already has a question. We might as well go right there and get her done. Robert, hi. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. And thanks for having this program.
Sure.
I have a lot of concerns about the wastewater from a commercial dump field. Plus, I heard that PFOS and PFAS are some of the big, wide version of chemicals that can get into the groundwater. And does the septic tanks that we have leach into the groundwater?
Yeah, the way the systems are set up is that the majority of the systems have a septic tank. The septic tank is meant to settle out solids and also settle out grease and things like grease and oils. So the clear zone, after there's some basic breakdown of biological treatment of that material, that will go out then into a drain field for final clarification. So the soil itself will actually act as a filter and clear out that material and send that clean water down in, it basically returns back to the groundwater. So a properly sited system, whether it's your home or whether it's a commercial system, such as like a bar or restaurant, something like that, as long as it's, correctly designed and situated, it's going to return that wastewater clean back to the environment. So that's the big key for us, is making sure that we design it big enough to handle not only the load, how much organic matter is being discharged, but also the amount of flow, how many gallons per day that it can handle. So if it's correctly sited, we should be able to take care of that, whether it's residential or commercial.
Typically, what would be a when you say sited and size, what are we talking about?
So there's two things. So the first one would be based on size for like a home. We size per bedroom. bedroom. 150 gallons per day per bedroom is what our design is. But then it's also based off the soil, so the soil type. So obviously a sandy soil, we can transmit more gallons per day through than we can a heavy clay soil. So, you know, the difference in size of a clay compared to a sandy site, you're probably going to be 2.5 times bigger on a clay site than you would a sandy site just because of the permeability of the soil.
Yeah, and the tank itself, though, needs to be...
The tank itself has to be sized large enough, and that's based off the gallons per day flow, okay. And that's to make sure we have enough retention time in that tank so we can have the bacteria biology in there start to break down the material. Otherwise, if it's too small of a tank, any wastewater going in is going to stir it up, and it's going to go right out the other side before we have a chance to retain it.
And so chemicals that may, as Robert was mm-hmm. talking about, he was worried, concerned about PFAS, for example.
Yeah. Well, PFAS is an emerging concern for us out there. We don't have a lot of information on PFAS, on how it's, you know, treated or how it's retained in septic systems or where it goes after that. We just, there's really not a whole lot of research on that. I know that's sort of an emerging thing over the last couple of years, and I know some of the universities are gearing up to start looking at that. So far as us from regulatory end, we're sort of responsive to, you know, what people tell us. And so I'm sure as more research comes out there and there's more thought being given to this, such as PFAS, you know, we may change how we do things in the future. I can't answer that because I don't really know that answer yet. So,
and it's based on, I mean, you have, there's rules and regulations and laws, and you...
Yep.
And your job is to follow those.
Yeah, our job here at the state is basically to follow the rules as they're enacted. So I'm sure as there's more concern, more public input, more research out there, there may be some rules promulgated that may change how we do things.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I don't know. I can't answer that. But
yeah.
I know it is a concern for us, and we are watching out for that and taking a look at what information is presented to us. But right now, we just don't have a lot to go off of. We just don't know.
Yeah. Doug, thanks, Robert. Appreciate the call. Doug in Minocqua will give you a chance. Hi, Doug.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Thanks. I was just curious what the thoughts are about installing a water softener on a septic system. This is residential. I was told that because of the brine, it's not a good idea.
Well, it's not a problem installing a softener. The problem is where that discharge goes. So any kind of water treatment, whether it's a softener or whether it's an iron filter, anything like that, the backwash or discharge out of those is very, very detrimental to a septic system. I know that you don't think of it as much, but, you know, the salt recharge in there or the bacteria slime from, you know, like iron treatment, anything going into your septic system is going to cause a problem with it. We've seen some that not necessarily that that's the main cause for failure, but it sure didn't help anything out. Sort of the, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, it was a contributing factor to that. So we recommend that those do not mm-hmm. discharge into a septic mm-hmm. system. So you can still have it in a rural setting. We just recommend that those kind of treatments, discharges do not enter your septic.
Okay. Because it could create problems for your own
We've
septic.
We've seen them creating problems. Yep.
Yeah. And then you're the one that's going to have to take care of it.
Correct.
Pay yep. to have it taken care of. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
All right. Doug, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. What about you? I have a question relating to septic systems. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Typically, septic systems are pumped, have to be pumped out at some point, don't they?
Yeah, correct. You know, there's two major kinds of septics is those that are what they call a holding tank, and that is a sealed tank. So usually the soils are so poor we can't get anything back into the natural environment. So anything going into that tank, it's very simple. When the tank's full, alarm goes off, you have it pumped out. The other systems are ones that then return something back to the environment. So that would be your conventional system, your in-ground or a mound, or we also have one called at-grade or various other iterations of that. And the septic tank, again, acts as the original or the primary digester, and then it goes out to the soil for the final clarification. So on those septic tanks, they do need to be periodically maintained, is that they are meant to retain solids and things like inorganic matter. So like you're out gardening, you wash your clothes, soil particles, they're not going to decompose or break down. They're eventually going to accumulate in the tank. So every 3 years, the state law is that your system either be pumped out or that you should have it inspected to see if it needs to be pumped out. Majority of the time, people just have it pumped out sort of as preventative maintenance. You can think of it as getting an oil change on your car.
Sure.
You pump it out, make sure the solids aren't in there. Also, we talked about before, making sure you have enough capacity in your tank for it to handle a large surge. If you have a lot of solids in your tank, the working volume is going to be much smaller. So when you do put a load in there, you run the risk of stirring up those solids, sending it out to your drain field, which is then going to plug your drain field.
Yeah, I knew a guy in Northern Wisconsin who was a pumper. That was his job. And he said one of the things about it was people were always happy to see him.
Usually, yes. Usually he's there to solve an issue. So, yeah.
He's there to solve a problem, and they're happy to have him there to solve that problem. Oh, boy. Joe in Stoughton, it's your turn. Hi, Joe.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in a rural setting. I have our system is a two-tank system. You have the first chamber or first tank, and then the second is a pump chamber. What we installed a couple of years ago was an aerobic system in the first tank. So basically, it's like what the municipalities do. They're pumping air into that system, and so basically, I take the lid off my first tank. It's constantly bubbling water and clearing it and cleaning it, and it doesn't smell like sewer. It actually dissipates that smell. And the biggest thing actually is revitalize your drain field. I know there's been issues, or I've seen issues where people had a saturated drain field. They put this system in, and it cleared it up. It opened up the pores in it and allowed the water to flow like it should. So it's been actually a really good system for us. Haven't had any issues. We bought the home where there was only one lady living there, and at the time there was five of us moving in, so I was very, very concerned about overrunning the septic system,
yeah,
because of the amount of more water usage. So, but that system seems to work really well. I really do like it.
Joe, thank you very much for calling. Comment on that aerobic system.
Yeah, that's a class of systems or products that are approved. You know, aerobic treatment units is sort of the generic term for those that add aeration into your septic system. So, again, the way the septic system works, you have a tank, then you have a drain field. Eventually, that drain field's going to run its lifespan. Mm-hmm. There's going to be enough biological matter in there, which helps us with treatment, but the more you feed it, the more it grows. Eventually, you won't be able to get water through it, and that's going to be a failure. So aerobic treatment units can help with that. Is what they'll do is they'll take a lot of the organic load out in the front in the tank, which makes it easier on your drain field, which can lengthen the life of your drain field, yeah, or in this case, possibly rejuvenate it. So, you know, the thing with the aerobic treatment units is because it's mechanical and air and there's some electricity charge, they're an expense that the homeowner's going to have to pay, but makes your system run more efficiently. So there's a trade-off depending on whether you need that or not, or desire or not. But yeah, they can be very helpful. And the way to think of it for the layperson is sort of like if you have a fire out in your backyard, and it's burning, it does a good job, but if you want it to really roar, what do? If you inject air into it, it really gets that going. Same thing in your septic system. The biology that is there, anaerobic or low oxygen, doesn't work as effectively as those bacteria. If you inject air into it and make it aerobic, they really take off and can really do a good job of decomposition. Yeah.
Joe, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking with Matthew Jansen today. Matt is the private on-site wastewater treatment systems plan reviewer with our Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. Great to have him with us here on WPR News. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you along today. Larry Mueller here talking septic systems with Matt Jansen from the Department of Safety and Professional Services. Great to have him with us. And lots of callers online, and I know we're going to have lots of questions here. We already have. But if folks attend this year's Farm Technology Days, used to be called Farm Progress Days, now it's Farm Technology Days, It's at Bear Creek this year, August 5th through the 7th.
Yep, Tuesday through Thursday.
Tuesday through Thursday, and folks are going to be there.
Yeah, one of the things that we do through our department is an outreach program in conjunction with USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service. There's a large soil pit that is dug in the conservation tent, and the NRCS shares it with us. They're on one half talking about soil site and characteristics, things like that for the farmers. And on the other side, we put in some displays so you can see what a cross-section of a mound looks like. If you wonder what that lump of dirt out in your yard looks like internally, we have some displays there that look at mounds, at-grades, conventional systems, a couple different types of those in-ground conventionals. Some other information sites and do's and don'ts for your septic system. Plus, you'll have staff there to converse with. So it's a really good outreach for us to get to that community that obviously farmers, they're in a rural area, they're using septics.
And, of course, rural homeowners.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, it's kind of fun, even if you're not a farmer, to go to Farm Technology Days.
There's a lot of stuff to see. I know when we take our breaks, we really enjoy walking around and looking at what's there. It's always fun to look at some equipment and other technology tents and see what's going on.
And see what's, and there's some action going on out there on the farm fields themselves as well, I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
So that's August 5th through the 7th, Farm Technology Days at Bear Creek. If you want to get a close-up look at what a system looks like, there you will be able to find it. You mentioned mound system and cross-section of what to look at. And I think Penny in Altura, Minnesota, has a question relating to mound system. So let's go there. Hi, Penny.
Hi, Larry. Love your show. So we bought a home, rural Minnesota, southeastern Minnesota, and we had to put in a mound system. It was contingent on the purchase, so we spent a whole lot of money. When they put it in, I asked what we should be planting on it, and the one gentleman suggested this septic-safe mix of, like, native prairie plants, which is what I did. The first 2 years, I kept it mowed down, and then the third season, I started letting it grow, and things were coming in, but I see I've got a lot of weeds coming in, grass weeds, nettle, thistle, various things, and I'm wondering, am I going to have a problem?
Typically, we don't have a problem with the grasses and things like that getting into your septic system. The ones we have a real problem with are more of the woody plants. You start getting some brush, and especially trees, they will send roots quite a ways looking for moisture, looking for water. And a septic system is a good source of that, because not only do they find water, but they find water with a lot of nutrients in it. So we will get trees that will send runners out for quite a ways, and if they get into your septic, I've seen videos and pictures. I've seen some in person where they pull out this snake that goes for dozens of feet of a giant root mass. Typically, if we're looking at any kind of other vegetation like grasses, whether it's prairie or native grasses or lawns, things like that, we really don't seem to have as much of an issue with those. But there's some information out there that some grasses and deep-rooting grasses or ones that love water will send some roots out there. But for the most part, we haven't really seen much of an issue with that.
Penny, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Paul in Toma will give you a chance. Hi, Paul.
Hello. How are you doing?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Just a quick question on RV fluid in the septic system, or any kind of antifreeze RV or the green stuff. Is it harmful? Don't do it. It's okay. I've heard stories both ways.
Okay, so that's a little bit of a loaded question. So RV, any kind of waste that you have out of an RV should be disposed of through an approved dump station. So usually you'll find those at near the exit of like a campground or state park when you're exiting. That's the best place for that to be discharged. You shouldn't be discharging it back into your home system because what can happen is, like you mentioned, there's a lot of chemicals out there that are preservatives. Some of them contain formaldehyde that are basically made to make everything inactive so you don't have to build up a smell. Once you introduce that into your septic system, it's going to do that to your septic tank also. I talked earlier about making sure the biology bacteria in there help break things down. When you add that, that could upset the biology of your tank, could kill it off, could have an upset, could cause you problems down the road. The other issue that I've seen with homeowners discharging into their own tank is that they don't or are not familiar with their tank or their tanks or their system. We heard before the person with the aerobic treatment unit, they also have a pump chamber. We've had people that have come home, open up the lid, discharge their RV waste into the pump chamber, not going into the septic tank, that immediately gets dosed right out to your drain field and then kills the drain field and plugs it. So I would recommend not doing anything with your home system. If you have an RV and you're out and you need to dump the wastewater, just go to an RV dump station. That's where it's best. But yeah, we've seen some commercial dump stations, you know, for state parks, other campgrounds, things like that, and it's very hard on the systems. It's very difficult to treat.
Paul, there you go. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Kurt in Pleasant Springs next. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, Larry. Thanks very much for taking this call. I heard just a few minutes ago that I should not be sending my backwash from my water softener to my septic system. Built our home in 2005. Been doing that since day one. Where should it go instead?
Well, any place but your septic. it's you know, for us, what we usually recommend is that they daylight it out to the ground surface, is that we don't want them going into the septic. So you may kill the grass off in an area, so you may want to put down like a gravel, little bit of a bed or something like that, just so, because you know you're not going to have grass growing there, and have it just discharge to the surface.
All right. There you go, Kurt. Thank you very much for calling. And Mark in La Crosse will give you a chance. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My issue is with my neighbor. My neighbor's house has been here for about 40 years, and he's on his original septic system. What happens is that, and it happens off and on throughout the year, there's a vent pipe associated with his system that I've noted increasing amounts of water flowing through it to the point where the soil is saturated just below and downstream of it on a slope. And I could be potentially going wrong with that system.
Yeah.
Typically, the vent pipes that we see are made just for ventilation. They're just there to exchange air with the system, or when the pump kicks on, or when the drain field discharges out there, that you have someplace, you know, you have water coming in, you got to have someplace for that air to exit. And that's what the vent pipes are for. So the vent pipes, you should not be seeing any standing water in your vent pipes. Now, I guess with a caveat to that would be saying that if you have a system that had recently dosed, you pumped out, or you have some water standing there at times, you know, that's going to happen periodically. But you shouldn't see persistent standing water in your vents. Otherwise, what that indicates, as I said before, is that eventually that system will plug up over time, and that's what we call hydraulic failure. So that's sort of what it sounds like is going on, is that because it's been, if the system's been there 40 years, it's probably developed a well-developed biomat is what we call it, and that's going to pond water on top of that. And so that's sort of what you're looking at is in, you know, all systems are on a progressive failure eventually.
Sure.
And this looks like this is near the end of its life. Once we see stuff discharging, or, you know, water, liquid discharging to the ground surface, that is considered failure by state statute, state code.
So now Mark's got, it's his neighbor, it's not him.
Well, it depends how much you want to make friends with your neighbor, I guess. You know, it's for any system, you know, we're not driving up and down the roads looking for systems, you know, to, you know, write orders on. But if you have a concern about that, you could always turn a complaint in, you know, to your local zoning office. That's typically who handles this. And they will go out there and investigate it. And if it's a failed system, they would be ordered then to replace it.
Okay. What does it cost to replace a system?
It varies widely. Depends on what part of the state you're in, to what kind of system you need, whether you can do an in-ground conventional or whether you need a mound. Also depends, like I mentioned before, what your soils are. So even if you have a conventional system, let's say in a central part of the state where it's really sandy, compared to a conventional system in, let's say, the southeast part of the state where it's really heavy clays, the system is going to be much larger, so your cost is obviously going to go up. You're going to have, you know, the tank cost isn't going to be much different, but the drain field is going to be a lot bigger, and that's going to vary. I don't even want to hazard a guess. I've seen, you know, systems somewhere in the $10,000 range for a real inexpensive sandy site, conventional, up to, I've seen, $35,000 for big mounds.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, it's more expensive now than it was just a few years ago, like everything.
Yeah. Mark, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Louie from Green Bay emailed us, is wondering if there's a way to safely empty their septic tank by himself, and what would happen if it had a leak?
Well, there's a couple questions there. Is it legal to empty a septic tank by yourself? And first answer is no. My department handles the installation of those and making sure they're being maintained, but the actual pumping out of a tank and disposal of that, that's handled through the Department of Natural Resources, and they're working off of rules that are all EPA rules. So there's a whole set of rules what you can do with sewage, just like a municipal treatment plant, what they can do with their sludge. Whole bunch of rules about where it can be applied, when it can be applied. We don't want contamination of human waste that might carry human diseases. For instance, like potato crop or root crop, you have to wait, I think it's like 38 months before you can harvest if there's been sewage applied. So there's a lot of rules with that, and there's licensing requirements through the DNR. So the short answer is no, you can't do it yourself. And I forgot the second part of the question.
What happened if it had a leak?
If your tank has a leak, well, then that's a failed system also. So whether you're ponding and causing sewage to come out on the ground surface, if you have a leaking tank discharging to the ground where it's not supposed to be, that would also be another part of failure.
Dennis in Two Rivers has something, I think, relating to that softened water issue. Dennis?
Yeah, when I hear about the highway department's brining highways in winter, I wonder, well, could the brine from a water softener be used on a driveway? And as far as people wondering whether to have their septic systems inspected or drained, I think sometimes they should have both done.
Yeah.
I don't know about using the you know, I'm assuming it's salty. I'm sure it would work for a lot of different applications, but I'm not sure how you'd recycle or reclaim that softener brine. But yeah, having them pumped out or inspected, that's been an argument that's been going around sort of the professional circles. Is I guess you can have it inspected, but a lot of people are just choosing to have it pumped out just as a precautionary. Whatever's in there, every 3 years, most people are going to get a card or a notice from the county, and they just choose to have it pumped out just as preventative nature. I know a lot of people don't like paying the fee or doing that. I think it's sort of akin of going in for a yearly physical. You don't get upset at the doctor if you go to your yearly physical and he finds nothing wrong and you say, well, that was a waste of a physical. You think, that's good. I checked it off my list. Everything's fine. So that's what a lot of people are doing, is they have it pumped out. They make sure that it's clean. You also will note that if there is any leak or something, if you pump it out, they might see, you know, water coming in. Pumped out, everything looks good. It's sort of your clean bill of health, and you're good to go again.
Roger in Stoughton, you're next. Hi, Roger.
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my call. The gentleman who called before about RV dumping, maybe I missed the point of that, but I'm curious. We have a three season up in northern Wisconsin, and I put antifreeze into my toilet, you know, when we close it up in the fall. And, you know, the past couple winters, we've actually gone up in the winter because there hasn't been a lot of snow and stuff. And I'm putting antifreeze back in the toilet and running that into the septic. This is my first question. Is that harmful to the septic tank?
That's a good question. I would have to see what the antifreeze is that's being used. And typically, if it's not harmful, you know, they'll have some information on there whether it's harmful to septic or not. If it's not harmful to septic, just like anything, use in moderation. I've had people talk about things like antibacterial soap or can I put bleach into my system? If you're using a quarter cup of bleach and 5 gallon pail and you're mopping or doing something, fine. If you're adding a lot of bleach into a system, it's going to kill it off. Same thing here with the antifreeze. I'm assuming small amounts just to keep it, you know, keeping your plumbing fixtures from exploding in the winter frost. If it's septic safe, I'm sure it'll be okay in small moderation.
All right.
Okay. I guess I never thought to check that. But my other question is if you don't mind, I also have from a well-known filter company, I have a filter that they replace three times during the summer. and it doesn't discharge anything, but it's pulling the iron. There's a lot of iron content in my water up there. That's running through, all that water is filtering through that and then going into my septic. Is that potentially a problem?
If there's no discharge, if it's just like a filter cartridge that they replace when it gets full, that I would not see being a problem. The ones that we have a problem are like, there's some kind of discharge that it basically reverses the flow and knocks that flock off of whatever filter is being done and then discharges it. You know, those are the ones that we see a problem with.
Okay. All right, Roger, there you go. Thank you for calling. Dave from Eagle River emailed, is there any advantage of having two separate septic systems in a residential setting, one for gray water, such as wash machine water, and one for solids, two separate tanks for settling and one field?
Well, it's basically all going to end up in the same place. So the benefit of having a segregated black water or gray water, we do have that in our code where you can do that. But typically what's going on is that they're treating black water separately for a reason. So maybe you have, you're semi off the grid, maybe you have a composting toilet or incinerating toilet. You can handle your black water that way, and then you're handling your wash water. For our code, based on the number of pathogens and bacteria and viruses and other things that can be in it, black water and gray water are treated the same according to our code. Both need to be treated. So separating the two and then having them joined back up in one drain field probably isn't very advantageous, but having an extra septic tank would be advantageous, having more settling time, more retention time, letting it break down. So you wouldn't necessarily need to separate the two. You could put them all into the tank. Adding another tank would make, quote, a better system.
All right. There we go with that question. And now let's go to Neil's email. Last winter, the septic line from the house to the holding tank froze, and also the drain field. The plumbing in the house is about 40 years old, and he's considering replacing all the drain pipes and, you know, from the inside of the house to the tank. What's the best approach to repairing and updating the aged plumbing? And I, just as an aside, I bet there was a lot of frozen that happened last year because we had almost no snow and then really cold temperatures for a spell.
That's sort of the perfect storm for freeze-ups for us, is that you don't have a lot of snow cover, you have a lot of cold weather, you're going to get freeze-ups. That's just the nature of the beast. There's not much we can do about it. Having the systems or having your piping buried deeper, you can put insulation over your pipes. There's actually, extruded polystyrene that's in our code. It's a way to insulate it. I've seen some people sort of do the handyman special. They'll bring out straw bales or something to put over it just to try to insulate it. Keeping the lawn sort of woolly, trapping as much snow as you can when it does fall, that all helps. But, the thing that's going to happen in winter, if we don't get the snow, we're going to have freeze-ups. It just happens.
Somebody else is wondering, what about the garbage disposal? You got a garbage disposal in your sink. How does that affect a septic system?
Garbage disposals are hard on systems. If you have scraps of food or things that can be pulled out and thrown in the garbage or composted, you should be doing that. What you're doing is any of those that material, that food waste that you're grinding up and sending down there, the bacteria and biology of that tank is going to have to break that down. And so by putting raw food in there, making it work harder, again, it's anaerobic, it's not very efficient. Our body's much more efficient at breaking that down first. So it's hard on the system by using that. So if you do have a garbage disposal, very intermittent use, not just getting in the habit of scraping all your food waste in there and grinding it up and sending it down the drain, that's hard on it.
Mary emailed, they have a septic system, and when they wash and dry laundry in their home, a stinky smell comes through the bathrooms. It's not every time, and perhaps worse on a windy day. A plumber once told Mary it's because she has a septic tank. However, she had a septic on a property prior to this one, and it was never an issue. Could this specific septic system have an issue?
It could. Septic smells can come from a wide variety of things. They could be improper venting. You could have a plumbing issue inside the home, where it's not venting properly, or you have a partial blockage and you're getting the gas coming back into the home from that way. You could also be having an issue out in the drain field or at the tank that you're getting a septic smell or something going on. Again, depending on where the vent is in relation to fresh air inlets and the geometry of the home and how the air blows through, sometimes the air can sort of get trapped behind a home and blow back in there. So there's a wide multitude of issues that could be happening. It could be an issue with your septic system. It could be poor plumbing or problems with the plumbing. It could just be natural smells and just find a better way to vent it. So many numerous problems that could be causing that.
How do you get a permit to build or repair or replace a septic system? I suppose you need one.
Yeah. Is it any plumbing that's done on exterior plumbing, so a septic system, all has to be done by a licensed individual, and it requires a permit. And those, again, are typically handled through our local county agents. Traditionally, it's been the zoning department, but each individual county has different organizations and how they're handled. There are a couple that go through health departments. Other ones are these mega departments where it's planning, zoning, land conservation or something. So you'd have to find out who your local county department is. But in order to do any work on that, typically, you're going to have a permit, plan submitted, a permit, and then a licensed person do that.
And what about toilet paper? I see advertised on toilet papers, there's a little E on some types of toilet paper that are supposedly for septic systems.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones out there that list as septic safe or not. I've had some anecdotal evidence that some of them aren't as good as others, but typically for the most part, if you're using toilet paper in moderation, it's going to be okay.
And finally, what's the strangest thing you ever found in a septic system when you had to review it?
Oh, I'll say my favorite story is that we had a home where they had a blockage and our loose term of human artifacts that we had some prophylactics that were in the tank, and the man of the house said that he doesn't use them. Well, the 16-year-old beat feet, jumped in the car, and was gone. And I'm sure they had a good talking when he got home. So.
On that note, Matt, thanks so much for being with us today. It was always a pleasure talking with you. You do a great job. And are you going to be at the Farm Technology
Day? I'm not sure which day, but I plan on being there at least one of the days.
August 5th through the 7th, Farm Technology Days in Bear Creek, which is near Appleton, right?
Yeah, Northwest Appleton, Clintonville, sort of that area.
Yeah, and you're going to have a chance to see all the various kinds of septic systems for both the farm and for your home. If you're not a farmer, you might be living in the country.
They're all the same.
All the same. They're all the same. Matt Jansen, our guest, private on-site wastewater treatment systems plan reviewer with the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. Always great to have him with us, and we'll get him back and we'll do it again. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it very much. Coming up, we're going to talk about poisons. And I don't know if you've ever had a situation where somebody, either you or a family member or maybe a pet, ingested something that made them sick. We'll talk about that next with our guest. I'm Larry Mueller.